So, good morning. Good morning. We might as well get started because you're here and that's the important part. And obviously a few more to join us. So, look, we'll let them come in. I am recording what I'm saying because a couple of people can't make it along today. So, I'll send you a link to the recording as well. Is that okay? So, just in case you say, oh, I wonder what did he say, or, you know, to go back. So that'll be there for your benefit. So we do it in three different sections. The introduction session that I'm going to do, the risk session that Angelina's going to do, and the credit management that Paul will be along later to do. Is that okay? So I suppose there's a few things that we want to do today. And just a revision session. And I suppose to me the most important thing is to get you to relax. Yeah, easier said than done, says you. So we go through the mock papers, we give you a heads up on the exam paper, the areas to focus on and all that kind of stuff. And what I'm going to do for a start off is just give you an overview from an exam perspective. Is that okay? So that's what it is. So come on, yeah. So from an exam perspective, we will be writing to you next week. So I suppose the first thing we need to know is, where is the exam? That'd be good to know, wouldn't it? Because it helps and reduces the stress levels when you know where you're going. So we are in this building again in 2 weeks' time, and we are upstairs. So it's room 216, okay? So that's the equivalent to this room next door to us here. So it's a big room with tables and chairs, not these horrible things that you couldn't do an exam on. Is that okay? So it is a proper exam hall, room 216. So I'll send you an email. And so it's up, second floor and same location. All right? So that's that. Just leave that there. So just in terms of the things to look out for between now and room 3 there. So for studying, we have 2 weeks from today, and hopefully as a result we'll know what we're studying. So one of the worst things you can do in life is to beat yourselves up. And I know with an exam looming, you're sitting there going, oh God, I should be studying, and you're still watching something on Netflix. So rather than feeling guilty about not studying, I think the best thing is just make a timetable and say, look, from Tuesday from 6 to 9, Wednesday from 8 to 11, you know, whatever fits in with your lifestyle, just make a timetable. That's the time blocked off for study, and then you can enjoy the time you're not studying. Is that okay? So that is number one. So make your timetable, study. It is quite normal for people to panic with 2 weeks to go to the exams. And that's why Angelina and myself are on work overtime for the next 2 weeks. So if there is anything that you're not clear about, any questions, please email us and we'll get back onto you straight away. So okay, so that's very important that you use. And sometimes, you know, and you know the answers. I know you know the answers, but we'll point it out to you. Is that okay? So that's that. So make your study timetable. The key areas in both subjects you will be given today, the key areas to focus on, and maybe more importantly, the key areas not to focus on. Is that okay? So you'll say, look, you know, there'll be no question on that section, so you can ignore that. Guys, good morning. Come on in. We just started. So that is that. So where is the exam? Yeah, I've told you now. The exam is room 216, which is upstairs. There's the times for the exam. I'll give you this here. Yeah, I just have the recorder on there just so you can listen back to anything that you've missed. You should sign in. I'll give you a copy of this morning. Give you two. One for you. And then sign the sheet and you pass it down. Okay, so the risk exam will be there at 10 a.m. in the morning, and that's 10 to 12. Get that out of the way because that's probably going to be the hard one. And then take a break for a couple of hours, get your head together, and come back then at 2 o'clock for the credit management exam. The advice is that you arrive at least 30 minutes early for the exam, and that's as much for your benefit as for ours. You don't want to be running in the door the last minute in a lather of sweat, stressed out, because it's stressful enough. So if you arrive in good time, I'll be here from, you know, before nine anyway. The room will be open. So just arrive in good time, relax. If you want to arrive an hour early, that's fine too. The room will be open. You're allowed to bring your notes in and just have a glance over them. All right? What we will also do on the day, just to let you know, with 10 minutes, so at 10 to 10, we'll get everybody to bring their bags up to the front of the room and notes and everything else. And we'll give you the paper 10 minutes early. And that's just, again, a relaxing exercise. So you have the paper, you can just read over it. Your instructions for reading over the paper is to find the easiest question. That's all you have to do. And once you say, ah, yeah, I can do that, that's going to build your confidence, okay? And the other thing that I would say is, start with the question you find easiest. That's in both subjects, credit management and risk. So start with the one you find easiest, because that will get you into the flow, rather than kind of, oh, I don't know that, I don't know that. Yeah? So, and of course, when you see the paper the first time, you'll only see the stuff you don't know. You'll, you know, and you don't need to know everything. So in the risk exam in particular, yes, you have the two compulsory questions. You only have to answer two out of six, isn't it? It's two out of six, is it? Two out of eight. Well, sorry, the first two questions are compulsory. So, and then you have six questions that you only have to answer two of. So if you don't know what FIFO is, it doesn't matter. It just means you have a choice of doing two out of seven. You understand? So, you know, you don't have to know everything. You just have to know enough to get a pass. Yeah? So that is that. Just in terms of cramming, I'm not a fan of cramming. The most important thing is that you arrive relaxed. So pulling an all-nighter, like my college kid's son tends to do before exams, it works for him, but then he can get away with it. It doesn't work for most people. So just, you know, get here relaxed, refreshed, and all that kind of stuff as well. Allow plenty of time. Well, you've been here now a couple of times, so you know the lie of the land, the parking, where to get to. So leave yourself time, get here in good time, sign in and all that sort of stuff. You can bring, you know, water or whatever. I think you have water containers and stuff. So bring a bottle of water or bring something with you. That's fine. And please don't bring a 3-liter bottle and cracking it and annoying everybody. Somebody did that, we had to get out of it. So just bring a regular bottle. Yeah. Free car park. Yeah, free car park. Yes, on a Saturday it's free. So that is fine. Yeah, no need to worry. So Saturday is free. And I know they've redone the car park. The only thing, and I know I said it in the previous email, and I didn't notice the blue, they used to have blue car parking places in the car park for the sports club. Now I know they've done up the car park, I don't know whether they're gone, but if there is dedicated sports club, you avoid those. But all the other car park is available and it's free on a Saturday. Is that okay? So start the exam. So check the instructions. So do I have to answer this question, that question? And again, it's very simple. On the risk exam, you have to answer question one and you have to answer question two and then any other two. Okay? In credit management, I think it's any, Paul will give you the examples, but you have eight questions. I think it's four or five. I think it's four questions out of eight you have to answer. Yeah? So read the instructions. And then the best bit of advice I ever got, which was RTFQ, which is read the question. I put that in as full question. So read the question and make sure that you answer the question that's asked. If my classic example that I didn't get over at the time and still won't get over was, and it was a credit management paper I was correcting, and the question I thought was fairly simple. The question was, describe what are the benefits of having a credit policy? Yeah? And this person launched into telling me everything about a credit policy, and did they know their stuff? And a credit policy is this, and it should contain this, and absolutely perfect answer. Didn't answer the question. And I was reading it going, please just give me a benefit so I can give you a mark. And I read 2 pages of the best description of a credit policy I ever read in my whole life, and I couldn't give them marks. You understand? So it's frustrating from an examiner or the corrector's point of view as well. So just read the question. And if, and it'll be very clear, there's no sort of trick questions in here. It'll say list, explain, you explain to your 5-year-old, or whatever the case may be. So just make sure you follow the instructions on the question. Is that okay? And sometimes, I've advised people, sometimes maybe if you underline the verb, you know, so explain, list, describe, whatever the verb is, that's what they want you to do as well. All you have to bring with you on the day is pens, rulers, if you want them. So you bring your own pens and rulers. I would definitely recommend a highlight marker, particularly for risk. So when you write in a figure off the trial balance, just highlight it. And then you'll see if you've left something out. Is that okay? Rather than crossing it out and then you have to go back and do it again. Is that an 8 or a 6? Or, you know, so I would, you know, maybe bring a highlight marker. If you want to bring rulers, that's fine as well. And an old fashioned calculator, like a real calculator. So phones will not be permitted in the exam hall. So bring your desk calculator, whatever you use in work. So just a proper calculator. So you'll need to bring one of those as well. Is that okay? Then when you get the script, yeah, make sure you put your name on it. Because after doing all that work now, if you don't put your name on it. Now, if one person doesn't put their name on the exam script, that's okay. We're clever enough, we can work it out. If two people, then we're in trouble. So just make sure that you put your name on the exam papers. Number the questions. That's very important. So if you're doing question number, you don't have to do the questions in any order. You can start with question 7, you know, so you don't have to do them in any order. Just do them in the order that you find easiest. The thing about it is, if you start with question 7, will you put the number 7 on the top of the page or in the margin or wherever, that we know you're answering question 7. Okay? So definitely number the questions. Start the ones you find easy. That's that. Now, time is the most important thing. So you have to allocate your time properly in the exam. And to me, it's fairly simple. For the credit management exam, you have 2 hours to do 4 questions. Hello, half an hour question. And what we'll do on the exam day is, because when you get into the flow, you lose track of time, we will give you half hour time checks. So if the exam starts at 10 o'clock, you know, we'll say it's 10:30 now, it's 11 o'clock, it's 11:30, 10 minutes to go, you know, just to keep you informed so you don't have to worry about time. On the credit management exam, if we say half an hour to go, my advice to you is, even if you're halfway through a question, stop. Leave a couple of pages and then start the next question. Because you've got most of the marks. You go on to the next question and do that. And then if you have time at the end, you can go back and tidy it up. Or if you get inspiration. Yeah, the one thing, and I advise people all the time on these sessions, and the one thing, and still when I see it, it annoys me. They're writing down the page and they finish question 4 halfway down the page. Yeah? And then they start question 5 here. Well, why? There's loads of paper. It's not as if you're conserving paper. And you might just remember, oh, I forgot to mention that. And if you start at the next question 2 lines below, you can't squeeze it back in. So leave that page, leave the next page and start on the 3rd page. There's loads of pages in the exam scripts. Yeah, so, and we'll give you another exam script if you run out. Doesn't happen very often, but there's always one, as you know. So give yourself space and time. For the risk exam, my advice to you is, for question 1 and 2, I would allow 40 minutes for that. Okay, so 40 minutes for question 1, 40 minutes for question 2, and then 20 minutes for the other 2 questions. Okay, because there's 50 marks for question one, 50 marks for question two, and only 20 marks for the other ones, okay? So that is that. If you have time, now it's not a matter of rushing, if you have time, and now I'm going to give us more work to do here. If you have time, it's no harm answering an extra question. Now don't rush through the paper to answer every question. You know, you're much better off having four good answers. So do four good answers, and I would, if you have time at the end, just have a go at a fifth question. Just in case you have a disaster like the describe, where you'll get no marks for. What we will do is, if you answer five questions, we will mark all five, and we will give you the four best marks. Is that okay? So if you have a disaster, we'll ignore that. So if you have time, you don't have to, you can if you want. And certainly, I'm sure Angelina will tell you as well. question eight, your multiple choice question. Yeah, on the risk. So question eight will be a multiple choice question. It's a tricky, horrible question. All right, I hate it. I would do that. What's the worst that can happen? You get 25% of them right. Although some poor juniors picked all A's, they took my advice in the last exam, and they picked one letter all the way down because I see what they were at. And they only got one mark or something. That serves you right for me, smart. But anyway, just have a go. Sure, what's the worst that can happen? Is that okay? So that's that. Particularly with risk, and I'm sure Angelina will go through this with you when she's doing the thing. One of the worst mornings I ever had was invigilating exam, and I could see what was happening, and because of the exam hall, I couldn't do anything about it. A girl spent an hour and a half trying to get her balance sheet balanced. Yeah? And then, but that's only 50 marks. That's not enough to pass. You understand? And you know, if the balance sheet doesn't balance, and I go even one further, the balance sheet probably won't balance. It's grand. You know, as long as you get stuff in the right order and you do your adjustments, you know, you might lose a couple of marks. But out of your 50 marks, if it doesn't balance, you have everything in the right place and you just forgot to carry the one or something, you probably get 48 out of 50, you know? And spending an hour trying to get those two marks when you could be getting 50 on the next question. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I know there's a perfectionist in you that wants to have everything perfect. And yes, it gives you a nice feeling when it all balances. If it doesn't balance, if it's within your 40 minutes, you know, spend it, see if you can find it. If you can't, just leave it and move on. Okay, so that's important as well. Answering questions. So people say, well, how much do I need to write? And I don't know is the short answer. Certainly in credit management, we'd expect you to write, I suppose, certainly more than a page or a page or two. Now, obviously, quantity is more important than quality, and you can write real big and fill up five pages. So that's kind of nonsense. With normal writing, you know, a couple of pages, you've only half an hour. So we know that. And if there's five parts of the question, then you've only 6 minutes for each part. You know, you're not going to write a book in 6 minutes. So we would expect a paragraph. You're not going to answer any questions, you know, in one sentence. You know, what's the benefits of a credit policy? You know, it helps you do business. Now, you're technically right, but you're not going to get very much marks. Do you get that? So that's that. Then sort of when you're finished the exam as well, just go through, because there can be part A and part B. So just make sure that you've answered all the questions. So go back through the paper, back through yours, make sure you've answered all the parts of the question. Read over it in case you've done something stupid, and then submit it. Is that okay? So that's that. Every part. The other tips then. Yeah, I guess there's no negative marking. We're not going to deduct marks for being stupid. So a guess is better. So put something down rather than nothing would be my advice to you. Yeah, and maybe you know more than you think. Reasons for failure. Not answering the questions asked. That happens. Not recognizing key terms, just missing the point and just writing about, you know, they see credit policy and they just write about credit policy. That's not what it is. Handwriting, Yeah, obviously, look, the clearer your writing is and the easier it is to read. Now, I know when was the last time you took out a pen and wrote for 2 hours? So by about 12:30 there, your hand will be numb. That's why you get 2 hours now to do hand exercises to before you start the next one. So yes, everybody's handwriting is deteriorated. My advice is probably write as big as you can to make it, for the examiner, if I can't read it, I can't give you marks either. Is that okay? So just do that as well. Presentation, not really an issue there. And not numbering the questions. So, you see, I could miss, and say, Dick, how can you miss it? It's one page after another, are you stupid? And maybe I am stupid, but that's neither here nor there. The thing about it is, what I do is, when I'm correcting an exam script, I get the 20 exam scripts together, and I just flick through each one. So they answer question one, they answer question seven, they answer question six, and they answer question four. And I write 1, 5, 6, and 4 on the front of the book, yeah? And then I go through all the scripts. And then once I have that all done, then I'll go and I'll correct all the question ones. Yeah, and then I do all. And it's just fairer because I can judge the answers in comparison to the others. Like that person got 15 and this person got 14, but that's a better answer than that. And then I can go back and see where did I miss out or whatever. And I just find that when you're answering the same question across the board, you get a better flavor for how to do it. So on that basis, if you answered five questions, didn't write down number four beside it, I might know you answered question four. And I'll never find it because I answer the questions in order. You understand? So by not numbering the questions, you might be losing out. Now, if you only answered four questions, we will go through the script to go, ah, look, they answered that and they didn't put an answer. But half the time, we won't even look for it. Okay? So, but look, we will give you every chance. And if you get 39% in the exam, we will go back and see if we can find a mark. And that's why, particularly on the risk exam, I would advise you, if you're asked to work out a current ratio, and the current ratio is 1.6, okay? If you write down 1.6, that's either right or it's wrong. You either get a mark or you don't get a mark, yeah? If you write down current ratio equals current assets divided by current liabilities, current assets is, 126, current liabilities are 104. 106 divided by 104 is 1.4. Now I can see. So I might be able to give you half a mark because you knew what a current ratio was, you knew what the current assets and the liability was, and you forgot to carry the one when you were dividing it, or you transposed the numbers, or you put in a 76 instead of a 67. So I can see it on the page that this person knows. Whereas if you just write a number, I don't know whether you know it or not. So give yourself every chance. And if you want to tear out the middle pages out of the exam script and use that as your scribble notes, yeah? And use it as your scribble notes and just stick your scribble notes back into the, write your name on the top in case it gets detached and put it back into your exam script and hand it up. And if there is an extra mark.
And the mock exam, we had a ratio at the end, like a formulas,
Yes, yes. Now, yes, you will
We
be given.
have it
Yes.
also. So we will have it.
Yes, you will.
So we don't need to remember it by heart.
No, no. Now, Angelina deal with a specific risk topic. This is not a memory exam. So, and even though you might, it's not really about sums, but because you're credit controllers, what we're most interested in is your understanding. So is a current ratio of 1.8 better than a ratio of 1.1, or is it 0.7 good? So it's your understanding of it. That's really what we want to get to from a credit perspective. So yes, you will be given the ratios. So the ratio sheet you'll be given. And Angelina will go through all the questions with you now in a minute. After the exam then, so you hand up your script and walk away. Post-morteming is that will add to your stress levels. And what did you get for what did you get for the last question? The loudmouths are the ones who are always wrong. So you know, leave it alone. You've done it. It's in the bag. There's nothing we can do. Is that okay? So that is the story. And I say we will be fair. Now, obviously, if somebody hasn't a clue, they haven't a clue, you know. And so I'm not going to say everybody walks through it. I'm hoping that between what you've learned up to now, the revision session that we're doing now, the help and support that will be there for you over the next 2 weeks, you know, we work with you to get marks. And in my experience, the people who attend the induction session, submit their tests and assignments, and turn up for the revision session, tend to get through the exam. The people who sit at home think they know everything and just have to turn up on the day are the people who fail the exam. So that's hopefully that's some encouragement for you to keep going. Is that okay? So you know where it is, you know the timing, you know how to sort of go about approaching the exam. And just to have the confidence, this is your chance to show off how much you've learned. So put everything down on a page. You know, I don't think, that's too basic or that's too stupid. If you know it, write it down. Because the examiner doesn't know you know it. Is that okay? So what I'll do is now I'll just switch this off.